Well, this morning we are finishing our sermon series, Better Together. It's a sermon series where we have been looking at the importance of community in faith. And to guide us through the sermon series, we've been reading Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, which is a letter written all about the importance of sharing faith with one another. Over the past few weeks, we've been going through the chapter one after the next, which leads us to chapter four, where Paul is writing about the unity of the body, the oneness of the many. So we're going to look at this. The scripture that Sarah just read. But before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord. Have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, just about a month ago, I traveled down to Chestnut Street United Methodist Church in Lumberton, North Carolina, to attend an all-day conference on Christian discipleship. Now, the conference itself was interesting, but the highlight of the experience for me was when I snuck away during one of the breaks to give myself a self-guided tour of the church property. You see, when I'm in other churches, I get a little nosy because I like to see what they have going on. So I went down the corridors, and then I poked my head into the choir room. I stopped by the church office until finally I stumbled upon what must be the crown jewel of Chestnut Street United Methodist, the Chestnut Street Wall of Fame. You see, just beside the water fountain were dozens of plaques celebrating the gifts of hundreds of people who had contributed to the church throughout the years. I'm talking Sunday school teachers and trustee chairs and annual conference representatives, all of whom had their name etched in brass. Now, my favorite plaque was the one for the past United Methodist Club men's president, dating back to the early 2000s. That's it right there. Now, do you notice anything odd about this plaque? Every name is exactly the same. 2006, President Tim Bell. 2007, President Tim Bell. 2008, President Tim Bell. 2017, President Tim Bell. It's all Tim Bell. I'm assuming this means there's not a 22nd amendment at Chestnut Street United Methodist. These are lifetime appointments. Now, I must admit, at first when I saw this plaque, I was a little indignant. I mean, really, who does that? Is it really necessary to have your name listed 12 times in a row? Part of me wanted to take the plaque off the wall and turn it over to see if the plaque was given by Tim Bell in honor of Tim Bell. But I refrained. But as the day went on, my mind started to shift on the subject. Well, at first I was almost upset with Tim. After a while, I kind of started to feel bad for him. Started to wonder, did he really want to be United Methodist Men's Club president for 12 years in a row? Does anyone want to be United Methodist Men's president that long in a row? I started to wonder, maybe it wasn't ego that had his name up there. Maybe it was a sense of obligation. Maybe he had tried to hand off the leadership responsibilities to someone else. Maybe he tried to pass the mantle to someone else, but there was no one there to take it from him. Can be an exhausting experience, after all. To do work that significant, that meaningful, and have no one else there to help you. You know, not too long ago, I was talking with a woman who looked completely and utterly frazzled. She had huge bags under her eyes and a giant cup of coffee in her hand. And so tactfully, I went up to her and I said, "Wow, you look awful." She said, "It's been a busy week." So I have a lot going on. I've got a to-do list a mile long. Everything has to be accomplished by Friday. And of course, if I don't do it, no one will. Have you met that person before? The person who feels the weight of the world on their shoulders because there's no one else to help out. Have you been that person before? With the bags under your eyes and the giant cup of coffee in your hand, it can be a very lonely experience. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and told them to remember the calling God had given them. But this wasn't just an individual calling he was giving to them. Instead, no, Paul says this was a calling given to the entire community of faith. This was a church-wide calling that some would be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That was their calling, he said. Their calling as a church was to go into the community and share the love of Christ, to do the work of Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, and to accomplish this calling, he says, they are going to need everyone. Notice, he didn't say that they needed just apostles or just prophets or just evangelists. He said, no, this is much larger than that. This calling, it's much more significant than that. Because though there are many of us, though the numbers extend, he says there are only one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That was the calling they received, to go out and make a difference. But it's a calling, he said, that's just too large for any one person to carry. The burden is just too heavy for any one person alone. Did you know the average United Methodist churchgoer who considers himself an active part of a church community attends worship 25% of the time? That's the average. One in four Sunday is the average attendee. And that's with Tim Bell wrecking the curve for everyone. Someone said to me once that the average church in America has an experience of worship that is not unlike a college football game. I said, oh yeah, why's that? He said, well, typically in an American church, you have about 22 people running around like crazy, exhausted, desperately needing a break. Meanwhile, thousands of people are cheering them on from the sideline. Who could use a little exercise? Paul said to the church, remember who you're called to be. Remember your purpose. This calling you have to go out and make a difference in this world. This summons to be salt and light for the community around you. It's too much for any one person to handle. It is too heavy for any one person to carry alone. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, if you're going to be Christ to someone else, you're going to need all the apostles and all the prophets, all the evangelists and all the pastors working together. Because when they work together, he said, when they work as one body, that is when the miracles will take place. I hope you realize how much you matter to this community of faith. I hope you never think of yourself as just one of many people who show up here on Sunday morning. I hope you don't think of yourself as one of numbers of people who come to be part of this church. Because we might have 800 names on a list somewhere that says membership, but the truth is there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one calling that we are living out as a community of faith. And when we are better together, when we come together as that community of faith, well, that's when we will see the work of God take place right here. That is when the miracles will begin to unfold. Together, Paul says, together you make the work possible. You know, this past Friday, I received a letter from our former pastor, David Banks. He was emailing to express gratitude for all the ways this congregation, his former church, has helped to support him in New Bern with his new congregation after Hurricane Florence. He wanted to know that he appreciated all the Bibles we bought for their church, the flood buckets that we're putting together, the mission team that is leaving this afternoon to go and repair homes. And so he wrote to us and said this. He said, "Dear sisters and brothers in Pinehurst, you bless us as you equip us with Bibles so that we might serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you," he said. "Parts of our community are returning to a sense of normal. For that, we are grateful. However, large tracts of our community and region are indescribably devastated. We're told that our beloved New Bern has over 4,600 storms that have, or homes that have been inundated by the storm. And it looks like nearly 40 of our church families had a complete loss in their house, and 60 more took on water and tree damage. Jerry and I did okay. While the water rushed 360 degrees around the house, it did not rise to the foundations 6 inches more, and it would have gotten us. The heart of Garber Church is grieved, but we do not despair. We are tired, but we are not giving up. The gospel both comforts us, but it sends us in the name of Christ. Much is happening in Christian ministry. People are being loved. Jesus is being offered. Your gifts help us in this witness. A week ago, 200 families came to church for food. They received a large box and a large grocery bag and staple food, a bag of fruit, a bag of juice boxes, a crate of water, a gallon of milk. And they were also offered prayer and a Bible. Every family received prayer, and many needed a Bible, some receiving one for the very first time, others to replace ones that had been lost in the storm. Your gift helped to replenish and help us to keep offering this gift to others. So thank you. Thank you for the ways you have served. Jerry and I love Pinehurst United Methodist Church. Since 2007, you have been in our heart. Please share our love, our affection, our gratitude with all. Sincerely, in the wonderful name of Jesus, David A. Banks. Yes, some would be apostles and some prophets. Some would provide flood buckets and others would offer food. Some would pray for you in your worst moments and others would be there to help put the pieces of your life back together again. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let's make no mistake about it. God has given this church a great calling. God has summoned us to go and be the hands and feet of Christ in the world around us. God has asked Pinehurst United Methodist Church to be a city set upon a hill, to be salt and light for the community of Moore County, but it's a calling too great for any one of us to handle. Said if we're going to do it, we're going to do it together. All the apostles and the prophets, all the evangelists and the pastors, and you, we need you. Because when we do it together, when we respond to this calling as one body, well, that, Paul says, that is when lives will be transformed. That is when the miracles will take place. Yes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Never forget that we are better together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal and loving God, we thank you that indeed you have given us a calling. You have summoned us from comfort and sent us forth into mission and to share your love with others, to take what is broken and provide restoration, to take what is wounded and provide healing, to be salt and light to the world around us. So God, we pray that you would take this season and that you would unite us. Fill us, strengthen us, that together we might respond to this call. Together, we might be your hands and feet in the world. For we offer this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.